Today marks the first anniversary of the start of the war in Iraq. For weeks before the war began, the world waited as diplomatic overtures, weapons inspections, threats, and troop movements culminated in what the Bush administration promised would be a campaign of shock and awe. The Iraq War brought the world a new kind of journalist, embedded journalists, or embeds. After training with the military, the embeds accompanied units into battle, providing a close-up view of the war. One of NPR's embeds was Eric Westervelt, who's now our Pentagon correspondent.
This is the sound of an RPG whizzing overhead before the tape goes blank as this reporter dives behind a Humvee.
Militiamen firing on U.S. positions here on the outskirts of Najaf.
Okay.
Eric Westervelt joins us now. Eric, you were embedded with the Army's 3rd Infantry Division. What are your memories of the opening days of the Iraq War?
Well, Madeline, I remember sitting on a Bradley fighting vehicle right on the Kuwait-Iraq border the day before the war started. I was talking with soldiers. It was a bright, sunny afternoon. There was a tension in the air, but people were still joking about. Suddenly, we heard a loud boom, and one soldier said, "That sounds a little like outgoing artillery." What it was, in fact, was the sound of a Patriot missile intercepting a missile fired by the Iraqi military. And about 10 minutes later, everyone, including, of course, journalists traveling with the military, were ordered to quickly get into their full protective suits and masks. No more lighthearted moments. Everyone, I think, at that time knew the war was on.
Now, you were with the 3rd Infantry Division. It was the so-called tip of the spear, in other words, the first soldiers to march toward Baghdad. And as you rode with them, did you have a sense of what you were riding toward, what sort of fighting you might encounter?
No, not really. I mean, the Army intelligence officers were saying that their information made them believe that large numbers of Iraqi soldiers were poised to surrender en masse. And as we know, that didn't happen. And the intelligence picture from the military was that the main threat would come from Iraqi armored units. In fact, as we now know, the major resistance came from a real mix of Iraqi fighters, including the Saddam Fedayeen militia, some Iraqi military forces, and other guys with just in civilian clothes with an AK-47 that jumped in the back of a pickup truck.
So let's listen to a piece of tape from that time that you filed for us.
Soon, Iraqi fighters packed in the back of gun-mounted pickup trucks began to charge the armored convoy as if on suicide runs. The 50-caliber machine guns of the U.S. Bradleys and Abrams killed the majority of fighters.
Now, Eric, just a little over 2 weeks later, you were with the soldiers who were the first to ride into Baghdad and who captured Saddam Hussein's palaces. What was the mood like then? Was there a feeling of elation, a feeling the war would be over soon?
There was a sense, Madeline, that the major combat was over. There was a sense of energy and something of elation. The sense that the focus would turn to stabilizing Baghdad. It was chaotic in the city. There were small pockets of resistance. There was heavy looting. There were fires going on. But a lot of the soldiers felt that the heavy combat was over and that they might be heading home soon.
Feels great. Tell you what. Means one day closer to home.
I knew we were getting close when I was sifting through Sam Saddam's gifts.
That's right.
And I put my feet up on his desk.
Meantime, troops today continued to find and destroy thousands of Iraqi weapons and ammunition rounds stored in Baghdad for a final stand that never happened.
Yeah, I got AKs still in plastic, gentlemen. Small price. $1 a piece. We're having an Iraqi clearance sale.
So, Eric, it sounds to me that they were ready to go home.
Well, right, they certainly were. They had been in the region a long time, but they didn't get to fly home. They, in fact, spent another 4 to 5 months in Iraq. Many were sent to the Sunni Triangle west of Baghdad, so they were not out of the woods yet.
Now, you've been back to Iraq several times since President Bush declared an end to the major hostilities there. Have you sensed a change among the soldiers?
I mean, I think so. It's a different kind of fight. No one really anticipated this level of a prolonged resistance, that Iraqi guerrillas would be using roadside bombs and other what they call vehicle-borne improvised explosive devices, what Americans might call car bombs, to attack their troops, to attack civilian targets. They didn't know that the resistance would last this long. So I think the outlook has changed.
Are you still in contact with the soldiers you rode in with?
I am in contact via email and phone with some of them. They're actually back at Fort Stewart, Georgia. Some are training up, and they may in fact end up going back to Iraq as early as the end of this year or early 2005. So they're preparing for what will likely be another deployment into a war zone.
NPR's Eric Westervelt at the Pentagon. Thanks, Eric.
You're welcome.